Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Right, guys, welcome back to Coaching Conversations with Pete and Yas. But before we get to today's episode, just a quick announcement from our partnership with St. Mary's University Twickenham.
Yeah, so thanks for having me. I'm Ashley, our performance football coaching course lead. As you know, as a member of our alumni, our course is unique around the world. So we believe that we have a distance learning model that kind of works for everyone, regardless of where they are in the world. They can study football performance coaching from their environment and put it into their context.
Amazing. And who is it for?
So we really have lots of different unique opportunities. So you can be a pro licensed coach that we've had in the past. You could be a level 2 UEFA B coach. It's about putting it into your context. So we'll expose students to match analysis, contemporary football coaching cultures, and they can put that into their own practice and improve their knowledge and understanding of the game.
Thank you for that, Ash. And as an alumni member of St. Mary's University Twickenham, I'm proud to announce the partnership that we've got going on, where each week myself and Pete will be delivering conversations around different how-to elements, analysis tips, and obviously some insights from our own experiences as coaches and coach developers. So catch that on YouTube and every week on all major platforms where you can hear it in audio form as well.
Right, guys, welcome back to Coaching Conversation with Pete and Yas. My name's Yas, and today we'll be talking about playing styles and whether there's only one right way. Pete, what are your thoughts?
Is there only right? Of course, there's not one right way. Your playing style is determined by your players, or should be determined by your players, because you might have an idea in your head where you think, oh, okay, we're going to play up from the back like Manchester City, or we're going to play like Liverpool, and we're going to play with the a heavy metal kind of football, but your players might not be able to do it. So you have to start to temper your own thoughts with what are the capabilities of your players. Because if you can't do that, then what happens is your playing style is going to go out the window and you're just going to get frustrated.
It's an interesting one, because I don't know where I sit on the question, to be honest. Right. So I think if I look at it from a standpoint of, is there one right way? I think I get, you know, of course there's many different ways that work. But where my mind kind of goes to with this one is that as long as the intention behind the way that you're trying to play is one that if I'm in possession, I'm trying to penetrate. And if I'm out of possession, I should deny penetrative opportunities. Then yeah, that's the one thing. I think that's the one thing that I think, in my opinion, should stay consistent and ever present, regardless of where you're working, what environment you're in, and who you're working with.
Yeah, I mean, that's going down to the principles of play. And the principles of play, basically, they frame whatever you do, because you have to understand the game's principles don't change, and they never have changed. Football's an invasion game, and the principles of the invasion game stay the same. So you're always looking to try and get scoring the opposition's goal, but at the same time trying to stop them scoring your goal. So how you do that, that's when you bring in your playing style, and that's where the player comes into it.
Right.
So what if, say for example, you're dealing with young kids and you're trying to impose a playing style on young kids? Well, actually that becomes quite difficult, because depending on how young the children are, say, for example, if they're under eight or so on and so forth, they're 7 years old, aren't they? Mm. So they've got limited experience of the game. That's number one. Number two, the truth of the matter is they're still quite selfish. They still want the ball for themselves. So they're going to try and get as close to the ball as they possibly can. But there's also something else within that as well, is that the kids make sense of the size of the pitch. Because if this little kid knows, but I've only got these little short legs and there's not a lot of power in them. And so is my mate. He's got the same little short legs as me and he ain't got a lot of power in his. So I'm not going to go and stand all the way over there like the coach is telling me, because I know I ain't going to get the ball. Yeah. So I'm going to come here because now his or her little short legs can get the ball to me.
Yeah.
So it's those kind of things. The kids will make sense of it. As they get older and they start to understand the game, and you know, and they can, you know, knock the ball further, they've got more power and so on, more strength to run with it, they will then start to see, right, okay, I've got in my team a lot of runners with the ball. So what kind of game am I going to play, and how can I get the other things into the game that I need them to be able to do? So if your team's got a load of runners with the ball, they love running, they love dribbling, at some stage you can't dribble past everyone. You have to then give the ball to someone else. But how do you incorporate their skill set within that to allow the full products of the game to come out so you can become successful?
So really, you know, what I'm taking from what you're saying is that it's much more dependent on the players you have rather than how the coach wants to play.
I think it has to be, because the point is, unless you've got lots and lots of time, you're going to be quite restricted to how you're going to affect the players. If you've got them from very young, and you're taking them through, then you know, well, actually, I'm taking these kids through from 8 till 16. That's my intention. I'm going to stay with them until they're 16. So what they look like at 8 is going to look like different to what they look like at 16. But by the time they get to 16, I want them to be able to be comfortable on the ball. I want them to be able to run with it when they need to run with it. I want them to feel confident to take players on. I want them to be able to be confident to take shots at goal from distance. So you're working your way through all those things. Say, for example, I use those as an example. You're working all through those things till they get to the point whereby you can go at 16, oh, actually, they can do all those things I wanted to do when they were 8.
Yeah, and I think it takes my mind to something that you've spoken about before, in that football always changes, though, right? And I think this is one of the challenges that exists, obviously, when you're preparing players, especially from a youth development pathway, is that how do we know that what we're doing with them now is preparing them for the game that's going to be existing in 3 years' time?
Well, that's I actually think that's quite easy, because somebody once asked me, what's your philosophy? And I said, it's change.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's changing, right?
So yeah, it's changing, and you'll see those changes happening.
But how long do you give your changes and your implementation of maybe training changes and your syllabus, your curriculum, whatever it is that you follow, how long do you give it that piece there for it to start to come to fruition?
Yeah, well, the fundamentals are the fundamentals, aren't they? So the fundamentals are, can you pass it? Can you run with it? Can you kick the ball? Can you stop the opposition, and can you block? Those are some things that are quite
so you're saying you'd fall back on the concept of just creating a toolbox?
Yeah, exactly. And then what happens is, as the game changes, you then start to adjust, because some of those changes in the game might be quite subtle. If I think back to the game, what it was like 20 years ago to what it was, yeah, don't stop laughing, because you're going to say that's me, innit? The game's got quicker and quicker and quicker. Every year you see the game get quicker and quicker and quicker. And whereas before it would be sort of like in almost like 10-year spans, then it's shortened to 5-year spans, now it's 2-year spans. Now it's almost like a year. Yearly you see different things change, because there's so much evidence and so much video analysis that's done. So what happens is people can change really, really quickly. So
give us an example of that, especially for the coaches who maybe are actively coaching, but we don't often get the time to really observe the game as often as they maybe could or should.
Well, if you think about it, you know, even a few years ago, you remember when Spain were bossing everything and everybody wanted to play the tiki-taka and everything else, then very quickly people started to realise, well, actually, this tiki-taka doesn't actually exist. What Spain do is they bop, 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 and then they go, and they hit you where you want. So they're playing the short passes to go and expose you in a weak area. Then when people start to realise that, oh, actually, we need to change. So, and Pep Guardiola said that, he said, I hate this idea of tiki-taka because it doesn't actually exist. So then people go, oh, my gosh, that doesn't actually exist. Oh, my God. And now all of a sudden, everybody sort of like went, okay, now, how do we now adjust that? So then you adjusted that by saying, right, okay, we'll suck teams in, and then we'll go and find another space for us to play in.
Mm.
So then you started to get this idea of, you know, different formations. We went from, we had a couple of seasons ago, the overlapping centre backs. Yeah.
Mm.
So there was that. Then we're getting wing backs who are actually full backs, who are actually wide players, and all those things are changing. Inverted fullbacks. Yeah. The fullback who steps into midfield.
Yeah.
But now it's not the fullback who steps into midfield. It's now the centre back who steps into midfield, and the back.
Back three just they compress. Can become a
compress here. And then if they get countered, what happens is they have to go out wide. The whole team shifts across, and the centre back who's playing is dropped into midfield, now filled in the space. Mm. Now, all that happened in the space of like a season, and now you've got to be able to. And sometimes you've got to say, you know what, I'm ignoring that, because that doesn't refer to me. That's at that level. That's them up there. That's the elite boys and girls at that level.
That is, it's a good thing you mentioned that, because that is a real challenge. That's a big challenge for a lot of coaches, because. Coach will say, well, yeah, but I'm aspiring to be there.
Mm.
Yeah, but you're not there yet.
Mm.
So what would your advice be to coaches who are thinking, well, that's where I want to work, so I want to get exposure and experience doing those things, but then also equally understand and recognise and accepting, well, those things don't apply to where you're currently working at. And I think probably the most simplistic way to kind of view it is, well, you're not even working an 11v11 game.
Mm.
And as a bare minimum, if you are going to be trying those things, go and do it in an 11v11 game. Now, even if that means with youth players at 12, 13, 14, whatever age they might be, are they of a standard where they can take on board that depth of information? But more specifically, are they in a game? Is their game allowing them to experience those moments in a way where you can actually work on it?
Mm. Well, yeah, again, but that goes back to that thing, doesn't it, about... everybody, this is the thing, is everybody thinks that they can go and be like a Pep or an Arteta or Eddie Howe, whatever it is. That's one.
Why not a Ten Hag?
But in all seriousness, actually, he is a very good coach. You know, you don't become a bad coach overnight. I mean, he's won stuff in Holland and stuff like that. But what we have to remember is, and we could go into a much more less things about personality, players, you know, all sorts of different things. However, when we're talking about this, right, coaches have to realise, be really good at where you are. What's your playing style for your under-11s?
Mm.
What are you teaching them at the under-11 level or under-10 level that's going to make them better when they get to under-16, 15, 18, whatever it is, whatever age that is? Because you're part of you're a building block in their career.
Mm.
So your job is to make sure that you don't spoil them and teach them stuff that actually isn't relevant to them, because somebody else might teach them that later on. Okay?
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big on brunch for mom. All in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So your playing style has to be around, again, as I said earlier, it's about the player and the players. What are you trying to teach them? Where are you taking them? Which part of their journey are you driving the bus, if you like?
Mm.
Because that's what you have to, and coach, you have to understand that. You know, there is, you know, the jobs at the top saying, I want to be working at Manchester City, those are finite jobs.
Mm.
And let's be honest, who do they go to? How often do you hear a grassroots coach coming out through the ranks and going managing at Manchester City or Manchester United or whatever? It doesn't happen.
But I think it
doesn't happen.
It's a good point though, because the thing is, you know, I know we're not talking about that specifically here, but that misperception, if you like, around what a journey could actually look like, right? There's a lot of people that actually think, I want to work at that level, so I'm going to practice those things. Yeah, but you're not going to go to that level from where you are now. So work with what you are doing now. And as you progress, and if you do get closer to, then you can start experimenting. Because then it comes back to your point, right? If the game's changing every single year or every 2 years, that won't be relevant anymore.
Exactly.
By the time you get there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Be really good at where you are. I mean, I remember somebody once said to me, why can't a coach be really expert at working with under 10s?
Of course they can.
Of course they can.
But they have to work at that.
Exactly. So work at that. That might be where your skill set is. But also, and I'm not saying this is taking away at any ambition from any coaches out there. You know, if you have a dream that you want to work in the first team somewhere, it could happen. It might happen for you. But that means you've really got to dedicate yourself. And you've got to know the ins and outs. So we're talking about playing styles here. You really have to look at your playing style and say, right, okay, I understand every single one of my players. And whenever I go into any club, I'm going to understand every single one of them. Every single what position or positions they can play. Can I move them about? Am I able to show them other things? Am I teaching them to be a footballer first rather than a position? So all those things are part of when you start to look at what's my playing style and what's my playing philosophy and how do I make my players better? Because, again, we're not playing the game. The players are. If you're giving them stuff to do that they don't enjoy and they don't like, they're not going to be with you for very long. And you know what? They tell their friends. and be sure of this. With social media, if you're not a very good coach, you could be one of their memes. You don't want to be that.
100%. And I think coming back to the
topic of the conversation around it being the one right win, I think this is probably the part where we need to really kind of talk about specifically is playing style, and why I suggest I think there is probably more of a one right way is because if we look at it from a youth development standpoint and we're talking about being a right way, we're talking, you know, you've identified it's an invasion game. There is principles that exist within it. So if your playing style is not based on those principles specifically, are you really providing the best possible environment to develop the players and their understanding of the game? Because I think one of the challenges that exists for me is that, and I say this all the time, even with the club that I'm working with at the moment, our job as coaches is not to win games. Doesn't matter, especially at youth level. I'm not saying it's not important, but it's not the priority. I think it should be high up on the priority, but it's not the priority. And the reason why I say that is because if they don't understand the game, but they're winning games, they'll never understand how to put games right when they're losing them. If they understand the game, it doesn't matter what system they go into, it doesn't matter what country they play in, it doesn't matter what coach they play for, it doesn't matter what level of the game they play at. If they understand the game and its principles, they will be able to operate across the board.
I would agree with that, because what people have to and coaches have to understand is this, that sometimes players are going to leave you and they're going to go into a bad environment where the coach isn't very good. And the coach isn't teaching them anything, and they're going to need to have a set of skills that's going to allow them to stay in the team. And the whims of some coaches can be so fickle that, you know, you have one good game and you're the best thing since sliced bread. You have one bad game and you drop from the team. And you know, I've experienced that as a player. You know, I was at one club. I had 5 cracking games, even though I say so myself, and it was a lot more behind the scenes to it, which I found out later. I had one bad game, and that was as soon as I had that bad game, coach dropped me. Well, it was the manager, not the coach, but the manager dropped me. Now, and maybe I wasn't very good anyway, but the point being is, having known and listened to the feedback that I'd got from my teammates, the actual coach of the team and some of the supporters, I realised that I was doing okay. However, working with that manager, he didn't have a playing style. He just sent us out on the pitch, right? You're playing this position, you're playing that position, you're playing, okay. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to get about him and we're going to... There were all those cliches that you hear. It was almost like listening to Mike Bassett.
And it was all those cliches that you heard. The players worked it out for themselves. But that was because there was that those years and years of playing for different coaches, managers, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I probably had maybe one, maybe two good coaches in my whole of my quite long non-league career, you know. And what got me through is what they taught me in those early years. So that base of knowledge that I had.
So let's talk about that. What were some of those key messages that stuck with you? Because the thing is, what I want coaches maybe to be able to walk away having listened to this or watched this is that actually these are some key things that maybe I could be going after.
Well, as a youth player, we had a coach, and his mantra was, "Goalkeeper does not kick the ball out. Does not kick the ball out. You as a footballer, you've got to get on the ball." So you played into the midfield, and this was a few years ago. And we were playing in through midfield. We were getting the ball out wide. We were getting crosses in, and it was that kind of play. But you know, you had to know when you went. You couldn't be frightened of receiving the ball. You had to get the ball. You couldn't hide. And he made us play in that way. And so when I then went up to the next levels, playing at first team level, I was never scared of getting on the ball, because it'd been drummed into me. Drummed, get on the ball. Get on the ball. Get on the ball. You know, at school we had some coaches who were very encouraging you to get, if you can get on the ball, can you turn out? Can you keep the play moving? Can you get forward? Can you combine with your whoever's playing down your side of the pitch? Was there a lot of coaching going on? There was a bit of coaching going on at that time, because I was quite lucky in school. We had one or two very good coaches. But it was after that, when I left school, that there was that scarcity of good coaching, because there was very few people who had the knowledge. They did football because they just enjoyed it. They just liked it. So, you know, things like a playing style didn't really exist. You just did what you thought felt was right.
But then I think if you go back to that, right, it's fundamentally what I'm looking at, right? There wasn't necessarily a playing style, but there were some key messages that we went after. And I think those are, why I say it's the one right way potentially, is that, well, those are the same messages that exist regardless of what you're doing.
True, but if you have to think about it this way. Think about a playing style is this, I see it as a framework.
Yeah, okay.
It's just a framework. Because if you say, right, we're going to play from the right back to the centre back, who plays into the central midfield player, who drops in the hole, and then we're going to go back out to the left centre back, who then clips the ball into the centre forward.
Routined.
Yeah. But what happens if the opposition stops you from
doing that? But that's what I'm getting at, right?
There is literally coaches out there who would coach in that way, where it's so fixed, it's so strict, that this is it, we're playing out from the back, regardless of what happens. Guardiola doesn't even do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because fundamentally, the only right way is what?
Can we get the ball forward? And which is probably the reason why he bought Haaland.
Yeah.
Because he's gone, right, okay, we're really good here, but there are times when we actually need to get the ball into that higher area of the park, and we need a type of player who's going to hold the ball up for us, who's going to maybe flick things on. We saw in the cup final, we talked about that, didn't we? About the ball going from the goalkeeper straight into Haaland.
Exactly, yeah.
Clip down, bang, goal. So like 3-4 passes. But you can't do that every time. The playing style is kind of, if you say the right way is there a right way? The right way is what's happening on the pitch.
Exactly.
Are you able to decipher that?
Exactly.
And then do what's the right thing according to the situation.
Based on
the objective being to get the ball forward into the opposition goal.
Exactly.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. Well, Pete, final words.
I think for coaches, you know, don't be too hung up on a particular playing style. Think about it from a point of view. What do you want your players to be better at? And I think that's about making them better decision makers within game situation.
Awesome. Yeah, and I think for me, fundamentally, it's going back to that. Whatever you're going to do, no matter how you want it done, just ask yourself, does this align to the principles of the game? You know, and I think the best example I can think of at the time is Louis van Gaal when he was at Man United. Great possession stats, managed to keep the ball often and a lot of the time. But the fundamental piece that was missing is they were keeping possession for the sake of keeping possession without keeping possession with the intention to go forward. And I think that for me was where the biggest breakdown came. And if you don't have that piece in there where it's, we're doing this in order to get the ball forward, I think that's where it fundamentally starts to break down. And then you start, you don't even get to see the fruits of the labour that you think of there. So there you have it, guys. Another coaching conversation with Pete and Yas. Today we looked at playing styles and whether there's one right way. I think there is. But let us know your thoughts. Leave a like, leave a comment. Make sure you subscribe and we'll be back next week. Take care.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.